and it soon will be number one. And the story behind such statistics is even more alarming. What is usually lost in the publicity about cancer is that most of it is caused by environmental and occupational factors which can be controlled. And cancer, like most social maladies under imperialism or monopoly capitalism, affects poor and working class people most disastrously. To top off the dismal picture, the unspoken alliance between big business, big medicine, and the federal government makes a viable counter-campaign against cancer almost impossible. To what extent have cancer-causing agents affected our everyday lives, both at work and at home? Well, let's go to Little Elk Valley, Maryland. Dr. Peter Caputo moved to the small city of 120 because it seemed like a little Shangri-La, Little Elk Valley, Maryland did. He soon discovered a grave problem, however. Over a seven-year period, six people in that small town died of cancer of the lymphatic system, or the pancreas, which is rare type of disease. Many more cases have been diagnosed. Out of the 120 population, he thinks that some 30 to 40 of that population have cancer in the pancreas and the lymphatic system. Dr. Caputo then discovered that the Galaxy Chemical Corporation, G-A-L-A-X-Y, Chemical Corporation, reprocessed used chemical solvents such as benzene and carbon tetrachloride and discharged carcinogenic cancer-causing waste into the air and water. People still continue to die of cancer in Little Elk Valley at abnormal rates. How much abnormal? 20 times above the national average, 10 years after the first cases were documented. In the workplace, risks are even greater. If you are a uranium miner, for example, there's a 50% chance if you work in the mines that you will get lung cancer. This is according to all U.S. medical estimates. Working at the coke ovens and steel mill causes lung, kidney, bladder cancer up to 16 times the national rate. It's bad enough. One out of three expected to have cancer in USA, the average. So think of it being 16 times more than the average rate. Statistics in a number of other industries are much better. Statistics in a number of other industries are not any better. In 1977, about 900,000 new cases of cancer were diagnosed related to industrial and environmental causes. Approximately 377,000 people died of cancer that was caused by industrial or environmental related causes. 19.6% of all deaths in 1900, cancer's share of death was only, in 1900, cancer's share of death was only 4%. But here we're talking about just 900,000 new cases of cancer diagnosed in USA due to industrial and environmental causes. That doesn't even relate to the cancers that come that are not clearly differentiated to be caused by whatever, stress or the normal cancer rate the world over. Cancer is really a large number of diseases characterized by a rapid growth in abnormal cells. It can attack anywhere in the body, depending on the carcinogen or the cancer-causing agent involved. It used to be considered a disease of old age, but growing numbers of young people, even children, are getting cancer now in all the cities of the USA. A popular idea is that population growth and the older age of the population, along with better diagnostic methods, accounts for the increase in cancer. But research indicates that in the 21st century, less than one-half of the increase in cancer deaths can be explained in these ways, if that. The government's cancer incidence and mortality study shows the greatest concentration of cancer in the industrialized cities, Northwest, Northeast, Midwest, and West. Further studies, such as investigations by John Hopkins University researchers in Baltimore, Maryland, show that six of the seven areas with most deaths from lung cancer in that city are right next to industrial areas, the poor, working middle-class neighborhoods. It goes on and on. Cancer is becoming a menace to the very future of life, said one corporate medical diagnostician from John Hopkins. Cancer is becoming a very threat to the continuation of life in USA. That's how bad it is in DuPont. Plants, asbestos problems, oil problems, all the hazardous substances that are causing cancer. The World Health Organization has called for an immediate study of cancer in USA and other capitalist nations because of the danger to the world health. There's some 20,000 suspect carcinogens at use in U.S. industry now. And OSHA has established regulatory guidelines for only 17 of those substances. They won't, the Occupational Safety and Health Organization of USA just won't interfere with big business. So there's 20,000 cancer-causing agents in U.S. industrial use. Only 17 of these are claimed, are being investigated right now by OSHA, the Occupational Safety and Health Organization of the USA. Well, that is the ending of the news, per se. News at home is that the cassava mill will open in September in Port Kaituma. The president of Zambia stopped by for an emergency session with Prime Minister Burnham. On what matter, one does not know, but you know Zambia has also been allowed the Katanganese to base there while they were forced in exile, as well as Angola. And the Prime Minister of Zambia and the President of Zambia and the Prime Minister of Ghana are very close friends. He dropped by for a 3-hour emergency session with Prime Minister Burnham. There's more talk of strikes in the rice fields. And there is more emphasis on obscenity not being used in public in front of children. So we want to keep that in mind. Most of the news has been covered. The revolution is well contained in Zaire, but not put out by any means. And the Bay Katanganese have 500 hostages of the white ruling class, and that gives them some bargaining point. Ethiopia at least has the upper hand over Eritrea, secessionists backed by U.S. monopoly capitalists and the World Imperialist Trilateral Commission, and Somalia has certainly been put back to the point of on her aggression. She sued for peace, and Ethiopia is free from any more attacks and now has a clear sea base on the Horn of Africa, which is necessary for the international struggle of socialists everywhere. That's the principal news of the world. We have not heard any more results from the high-level Warsaw Pact meeting that's taking place in Czechoslovakia at this time with the Soviet Union and her allies. The moment we get any news, we will pass it on to you. Much love, much production, and let us then look at our commitment. Maybe we could play Victor Jara again until the themes ring in our hearts, and the interpretation should be given in every classroom, and they should be written on blackboard so the people will know them, what Victor Jara is saying, what some like he was willing to give the women and men of the revolution that gave all. Let's look up to those ideals, because that will carry us through. Now the song of one great laborer, one great working class struggler who did not submit even to the tortures of the CIA. And let us think about our guilt, the money we wasted, the things we bought, the taxes we paid that helped them create the devices to torture Victor Jara at a young age and leave his family without a father. Much love.
Attention, attention. More current news of the day. The president of the Congo is in the Democratic People's Republic of North Korea seeking assistance, military and economic, for the struggle that is brewing in Africa. Also, Robert Mugabe, the Marxist-Leninist leader of the Patriotic Front, is meeting also in the Democratic People's Republic of North Korea, Communist North Korea. Joshua Nkoma is on his way to Moscow for high-level meetings there. Carter is asking for Congress to release him from the War Pact Agreement of 1973 that requires Congress to agree with any military appropriations or sending of U.S. troops, because Carter wants to send military aid to Angola to back the anti-Marxist, anti-communist elements. Africa is brewing in a very serious way. Senator Clark, Dick Clark of Iowa, who through his effective efforts got the War Pact, the War Council Act of 1973 passed, said that Carter is making the biggest mistake since Vietnam by trying to get back into the Angolan situation. He said, "I do not approve either of Cuban presence, but it will not resolve the matter by getting into a civil war. And it will only lead to another Vietnam that will suck in tens of thousands of U.S. lives and, according to Senator Clark, probably end up in a nuclear war." But there's obvious an effort in the Trilateral Commission amongst the imperialists to make an all-out effort against the Soviet Union and Cuba. Today, Canada has broken all aid agreements with Cuba and insists that they will not renegotiate any kind of aid agreements or commercial agreements until Cuba withdraws its forces from Africa. We can see the buildup of a heavy confrontation in the continent of Africa. Radio Habana has not yet responded to Canada's frightening turn to the right. Prime Minister Trudeau said there will be no negotiations of any kind, and all aid, all treaties, all trade agreements that have been made in the past or are presently being considered will be broken as of this moment because of the Cuban efforts in Angola and Ethiopia and now in Zaire. Zambia, the Prime Minister, the President, stopped in Guyana on his way to high-level meetings in Britain because he is being called to Britain over threats of U.S. interference in Zambia unless Zambia cooperates with the USA's French legionnaires that have been sent there to trouble Zaire. As you know, Zaire has suffered a rightful invasion of its own people, Katanganese, who had been pushed out of their country, out of their homeland, Chava, by U.S. imperialists and their lackeys over 10 years ago. Now, the French legionnaires are demanding that Zambia cooperate and Angola cooperate, and USA is demanding that they cooperate, to return the hostages, the several hundred white hostages that they have held up in the hills where they've lived in the worst exile conditions probably known to anyone except those who are members of the Palestinian Liberation Front. Obviously, Guyana has some share in concern about African affairs, or the Prime Minister of Zambia would not route his trip here to Georgetown for a three-hour emergency-level session with Prime Minister Burnham before going on to Britain about this serious matter in African affairs. It is a very, very, very tension-ridden situation. Cholera and typhoid have broken out in Al-Kurwezi and near Elizabethtown, where the Katanganese had liberated Al-Kurwezi, and now it has been retaken by airborne divisions from the French and the Belgian imperialists. Belgium was forced back into the issue because the Belgian nation was threatened that their International Monetary Fund agreements would be broken unless they gave military assistance to the Zaire puppet regime. Zairean citizens all throughout the entire state of Chava and which was formerly known as Katanga have been aiding the rebel operations. This is not to say that the revolution is over in Katanga, but many of the major forces have been forced back into their exile asylum in Angola and Zambia, and great pressure is being brought on Zambia and Angola and Cuba and the Soviet Union. Rhodesia steps out with a great posture, saying that they're being threatened by Cuban invasion and Soviet invasion on their borders, and have asked for USA help. And USA President Carter says he wants to be in a position to give military assistance in view of that crisis. The Cubans did respond and said they had no intention of invading Rhodesia because Rhodesia is falling. The Patriotic Front is winning so valiantly. Every element of his own internal politics is turning against him, including his own administration, interim regime, particularly Bishop Muzorewa, head of the Methodist Church, who was one of his leading governmental puppets, now have turned against him also and has decried the murder with the Rhodesian Army and the Rhodesian police, as well as the Green Beret forces of mercenaries sent in by the CIA that have murdered hundreds, literally in the thousands, black children in Rhodesia. Brzezinski, a hawk in terms of military posturing, has been accused of being a sellout. Brzezinski is the chief aide to Carter. He's been accused of being a sellout of human rights in a meeting, high-level meetings in Peking, China, as the United States today announced that they will withdraw their opposition to the annexation of the Republic of China, Taiwan, which was known, formerly known as Formosa. USA will withdraw all of its previous opposition to the reannexation of Taiwan with People's China. China is being courted all throughout Europe by the European puppets of monopoly capitalism. And indeed, USA is trying to spark up some kind of warlike relationship, military relationship with China, according to even the capitalist press, the BBC, and the Voice of America. It's obvious that there is real trouble brewing in the whole international arena. Alliances of strong nature are being made. Lines are sharply being drawn. And only time will tell where it's all going to lead to. But a tough posturing is being taken against the Soviet Union and Cuba. The Soviet Union warns the USA that China will be an unstable ally in an official communique to Washington, D.C., and warns the USA to stop their maneuvers, which will lead to war, certainly, in a matter of weeks at the present rate. USSR says that this can be nothing but manipulation to stop their efforts at third world liberation by using China, who is absolutely without scruples and without morals. The Soviet Union said it will not work. We will not be intimidated. Kurt Waldheim, the Secretary General of the United Nations, says that we cannot see a continued arms race that now is spending $1,000 million a day by the major powers. He said it makes nuclear war inevitable, and inevitable, by that I mean very soon, said he. He suggests immediately that at least the least that the nations of the world could do would be to spend $1 million a day of that $1,000 million a day that they're spending on making nuclear war weapons and other advanced technological warfare weapons, at least spend 1/1000th of it, or $1 million a day, towards disarmament negotiations. Disarmament negotiations have been called at a high level in the United Nations. The BBC was not very hopeful about the results. Vice President Mondale is representing the United States in the arms disarmament talks. Carter is looking in, as I said, strongly to aiding the anti-Marxist elements in a direct way. Carter is talking of direct intervention in Angola. Not in Zaire, not in Ethiopia, where the battle has been cool, but he is now going right to the heart of it in Angola. It seems ridiculous posturing and bluffmanship and brinkmanship, to say the least, if indeed he's serious. And Senator Dick Clark of Iowa says it is serious, and he calls on the Congress to resist him. He said it is madness. Senator Clark called it madness, his plans to reintroduce military aid and assistance, and even talk of sending deploying U.S. troops in Angola to aid what he said is a brave civil war beginning in Angola, And even BBC said this is absolute foolishness, as the Angolan government controls, the socialist government of Agostinho Neto controls the entire Angolan country. Carter has cut today $30 million from the Sahara Project, where people are suffering drastically from the water shortages. And this has been also meant, as the BBC says, as an intentional force coercion against African nations to get them to back his policies to demand Soviet and Cuban withdrawal from the whole of Africa. Gambia was told by Aaron Mitchell, who's supposed to be a black leader, he's the head of the Black Caucus now, one of the black congressmen, but he's playing it safe. He said, well, I can't get too involved in foreign matters now. We blacks are having so much trouble at home. He did say in a kind of wishy-washy statement, news release, Aaron Mitchell of the Black Caucus, the head of the Black Caucus, Congressional Black Caucus, said that the U.S. needs the minerals of Africa, and it seems insane to him that they would want to back off from support of the troubled Sahara and cut off aid from various administrations. Undoubtedly, though, they're looking behind the scenes. This is being done to force Africa to take a stand against the Cuban and Soviet intervention on the part of world liberation, particularly in the continent of Africa. The Queen of England makes a quick trip to Berlin, stands on the wall, and makes warmongering sounds. Everything of it, all of this is gelling together like they're really seeking brinkmanship confrontation. They may be making the same mistake that I mentioned earlier about Nixon and miscalculating the socialist world, but who knows? One day they're going to look down the barrel of the nuclear trigger and it'll be too late. Somebody will miscalculate, thinking that they know what they're doing. Carter seems to be awfully damn sure of himself, and this is even suggested by BBC that the Queen is a part of it, so she's standing on the Berlin Wall, or was an hour and a half ago, telling how the poor East German communists desire and yearn to be free. Sounds like we're right back at the beginning of the Cold War. We haven't heard from ex-President Ford for ages, and he made a national television news conference and appealed to Congress to take the muzzle off of Carter. He said if he had not been restricted by the 1973 War Council Agreement that had been pushed through Congress by, he called sellout Senator Dick Clark, he said, I would have been able to stop the Soviets in Angola. He said, let President Carter's hands be free. Now, this shows you how close Republicans and Democrats are, just two sides of the same coin of reaction. Two complexions of the same capitalist erection. So they bring old former President Ford, Republican right-wing President Ford, and he comes out on behalf of Carter and urges Congress to get their hands off of the president and let him have a free hand of saving free enterprise system and saving human rights and human dignity, as he calls it, in Angola. Israel today had a surprising breakthrough. Zionist State of Israel, the only opposition party, the Labor Party, joined the communists to try to bring down the Begin government, but they almost succeeded, but not quite. They were defeated. They needed their two-thirds. They needed a majority vote, and it went down 52-42. The opposition failed in its attempt to bring down the Begin regime, but it is something to see in Israel the Labor Opposition Party uniting with the communist in such a venture. I think that's about the essence of the news. As I say, you can see a pattern. The Queen of England goes to the Berlin Wall and talks about communist regimentation and oppression. Rhodesia gets up and says they're under a menacing threat from the Soviets and Cubans, who are not even near their border, and say that they'll take strong and stern measures and appeals. Ian Smith appeals to the free world to back him up, and USA responds immediately that it will. Brzezinski, the chief aide of the U.S. Carter administration, is in China and makes a quick agreement after years when of saying the USA had said they would never let down Taiwan, the People's Republic of China on the island of Formosa that had been taken away from the Formosan people by the USA. And USA had always promised to stand by Taiwan until the end of the world, until death do them part. Today, they dropped their commitment and said that they would not in any way stand in the way of China re-annexing Taiwan. Obviously, an effort to bring China into military alliance. The major foreign policy advisors of China are all over Europe today seeking alliances, military alliances. They formed one military agreement with France and one with Britain, and the Soviet Union says they see what's behind it. Said you're going to find an unstable ally. The Soviet Union said it will not work. We will not be intimidated. You are trying to intimidate us, and you'll find China will be an unstable ally. And you have not, I forgot one thing, it said you have not considered what kind of advancement we have made in the field of defensive warfare. Again, there was no elaboration from Radio Moscow as to what they meant by defensive warfare, but most experts believe that the Soviets have a considerable breakthrough in the field of anti-missile systems, killer satellite, and some laser technique of being able to destroy incoming missiles and enemy satellites. And USA cuts aid to African nations, and even worse, $30 million was cut from a promise. It was a commitment. It was a treaty, but it doesn't make any difference. $30 million was cut arbitrarily by Carter today from the troubled Sahara that is, you know, becoming more drought-ridden every day. And that was caused by USA seeding, cloud seeding, CIA undertakings. So really, the droughts of Africa and all over the world have been caused by the U.S. ruling class, but they withdraw aid from several African nations, including the Sahara region, which had been a mutual arrangement with the Office of American, the Organization of African States. They withdrew aid from Gambia, and they withdrew from Ghana, assistance from Ghana, and the USA, with the French Foreign Legion, has demanded that Zambia and Angola cooperate in seeing that the hostages that the brave Katanganese people, they're probably the only security that they won't be wiped out of their asylum that they have in the hinterland of Zambia and Angola. They're demanding that immediately the government of Angola and Zambia cooperate with the French Foreign Legion in getting back those hostages or else. And Washington is sending out some heavy, heavy signals that they will also be attacking in Angola. They'll be militarily backing the anti-Marxist, anti-socialist forces against the Angolan government. It's already won its civil war, already won its independence, but Carter says he's going back, and Senator Clark told it on him in a televised broadcast nationwide today. Senator Clark says Carter intends to go back into Angola and create another Vietnam, and he said it's madness. And this is further proven by the fact that a national news conference was called by ex-president, whatever the fool's name is, I can't even remember, that Ford, Congressman Ford, who was made president by the fact that Nixon was forced to resign for being a criminal. He calls for Congress to quit bridling and muzzling President Carter and give him a free hand. He said if Congress had not bridled him, the Soviets would never have won a base in Angola. There would have never been a socialist Angola in the first place. And he said let Carter's hands be free so he can protect free enterprise and human dignity in Africa. That is the sum and substance of the news, and it sounds to me like confrontation politics, children. Confrontation politics that will easily lead to nuclear war. If Carter's posturing and Congress is posturing and they're trying to look like there's division and trying to threaten the Soviet Union, last time Nixon did that, we just spoke about it earlier, it led to catastrophe. And it will not work, the Soviets say. We will see. At least there's plenty of signs that we're heating up for a major world collision in Africa. Thank you.